the Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 30th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. The Halloween weekend has left more parts of the country reeling from mass shootings, which have collectively killed at least 11 people, according to data from the Gun Violence Archive, that from Axios. They report police are investigating a shooting that left 2 people dead and at least 18 injured in a Tampa, Florida neighborhood. Chicago police responded to a shooting early Saturday in which 15 people were shot. In Texarkana, Texas, 3 people died following a mass shooting Saturday. And Axios reports officials say one person was killed in a shooting early Sunday in Indianapolis, Indiana. Meantime, from a Catherine Carley, advocates in Maine for stronger gun safety laws are calling for a complete ban on assault weapons, that following last week's mass shooting in Lewiston.
Groups say they are determining their next steps to ensure leaders in Augusta and Washington, D.C. pass what they see as common sense gun laws, including tougher background checks and annual license renewal. Anna Keller is executive director of the League of Women Voters of Maine.
It's going to take that kind of courage from our political leaders, but I think it's what their constituents are really looking for from them in a moment like this, is to do that soul searching and take a stand when they need to.
Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins says she would support a ban on assault weapons, although she and Senator Angus King, an independent, believe a ban on high-capacity magazines would be more effective at preventing gun violence. For Maine Congressman Jared Golden, the tragedy in his hometown of Lewiston has altered his opinion. Golden says he previously opposed an assault weapons ban, but that it's now time, as he puts it, to take responsibility for this failure and change course.
For the good of my community, I will work with any colleague to get this done in the time that I have left in Congress.
And warm weather is great for outdoor fun, but the abnormally warm temperatures in Indiana are having a negative influence on the environment and on people with certain health conditions.
In Indianapolis alone, temperatures on Halloween have ranged from 24 degrees to 82 degrees over the years. And climate change could be a factor in a slow warming trend seen in Indiana since 1970. Climate Central meteorologist Lauren Casey says warmer fall temperatures can also worsen certain health conditions.
The extension of the allergy season can be a nuisance for some people who are sneezing and sniffling, but much more burdensome for people with other more serious respiratory issues like asthma.
Casey says warmer air also produces more frequent and heavier rainfall, which creates a favorable environment for mosquitoes. The radical temperature differences from year to year have helped coin the phrase Halloween extreme, and lately they have taken the chill out of trick or treating. I'm Terry D. reporting.
This is Public News Service. And it turns out when the Postal Service works better, people are more likely to vote, according to new research. More from our Eric Tegetoff.
The study published in the Election Law Journal finds efficient postal service increases voter turnout regardless of a state's mail voting laws. Some states have passed more restrictive mail-in voting laws since the false accusations of voter fraud in the 2020 election. Author of the research, Michael Ritter, at Washington State University, says the link is strong between good mail service and voting probability,
which indicates that the postal system is a critical factor in structuring the ability of mail voting to promote higher voter turnout at the individual level in the country.
Ritter says mail speed can determine whether a ballot makes it to an election office in time to be counted. According to the study, people in states with universal mail-in voting, like Washington, had the highest probability of voter turnout in 2018 and 2020, at 70%.
Meantime, an election expert says that the guilty pleas from Trump lawyers in Georgia's election interference case probably won't change the minds of voters who think the 2020 election was stolen.
David Becker with the Center for Election Innovation and Research says he has empathy for good Americans who sincerely wanted to see Donald Trump reelected as president in 2020. He believes they're still convinced it was rigged because they've been targets of a long-term disinformation effort to keep them angry and sending money to pay his legal bills.
It's going to be very hard for them to get to the point, just because of a few guilty pleas or prosecutions, that the target of this disinformation, of this grift all along, was them.
Becker also is concerned about a recent State Department cable that says the U.S. intelligence community found evidence that America's adversaries are amplifying narratives that question election integrity. I'm Roz Brown.
And finally, from Edward J. Vieira and this Yes Magazine, New York News Connection collaboration, public interest in mycology has ignited interest in fungi conservation.
The Royal Botanic Gardens at Kew find only 0.4% of global fungi species have been assessed for conservation. Experts feel this interest stems from new empathy for fungal species rather than passing them off as weird or gross. Patricia Kashian with the New York State Museum describes what's needed for proper fungi conservation efforts to go forward.
So I think it's important just to have more and more surveys of fungi at the state level or at even more local levels that occur year after year so that we can sort of track these changes over time.
The hope is people will see fungi's role in keeping habitats safe from climate change. A 2023 study finds underground networks of mycorrhizal fungi on plant and tree roots can capture large amounts of carbon to store in soil.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.